ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभाम् व्यासशंकरमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरुपरंपराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। As we are interested in seeing Adishankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, where he establishes the fact that karma cannot be combined with the jnanam, need not be combined with the jnanam for the attainment of moksha. If the end is moksha, for that, what is needed is only jnanam. Jnanam alone is enough for moksha. It need not be combined with anything. No experience is required. No action is required. No meditation is required. Nothing needs to be combined with the jnanam for the attainment of moksha. Mere knowledge itself is moksha. We say knowledge is the means for attainment of moksha, and then we say knowledge itself is freedom. Means and end are identical. That does not mean karma is belittled or underestimated as useless. Please be very careful. For moksha, jnanam alone is enough. But to prepare the mind for jnanam, karma is important, necessary. Okay? We must understand the necessity, the importance of performing karma. Even if it is not understood in the sense of Vaidikam karma, okay? Vaidikam karma, the ritual, is substituted by our regular puja and worship and prayer and all that. Then our mundane activities, means the other activities we need to do for living our lives. Anyway, therefore, this morning, I just wanted to make it very clear why any action, mental activity or physical activity, no activity can remove ignorance, and because ignorance is the product of action is the product of ignorance. No action can remove ignorance, because being the product of ignorance, We saw the whole order until this morning. So karma is an expression of the desire or need, the emotional urge, natural emotional urge, our biological urges, natural urges, and cultivated desires, which are all actually naturally there. So karma is an expression of desire. So immediate cause of action is desire, but the root cause of action is ignorance. Which ignorance? Not moola avidya, not moolaha vidya, because moola avidya is total ignorance. In total ignorance, there is no desire possible. So desire, total ignorance, is actually unmanifest power of reality. Because of that power alone, all these things are possible. But power itself does not cause any desire. But when the ignorance is partial, partial knowledge is there, partial ignorance is there, even that result itself is not a problem. Because of the result, partial ignorance, error happens. That error is the immediate cause of cause. Pradhyaropa and Madhyaropa becomes like that. It's a paramparaya, one by one. It results in what? Finally, karma. And once you perform actions, and what happens? There's a law of action. Action should produce a result. No action can ever go without producing a result. Therefore, there are results. And if our actions are in conformity with dharma, then it is the right action. The actions are against dharma. Sometimes unknowingly also we may do wrong things. Sometimes inevitably we may do papa karma. Isn't it? So unknowingly, knowingly, unavoidably, inevitably, sometimes actions are done. And those actions definitely produce results. Isn't it? There's actions followed by reaction. The law of action, law of karma. The results are definite. That is why whether we want the results, we do not want the results, we expect the results, we do not expect the results, results are definitely there. So the result is called punyam and papam. If the action was in conformity with dharma, then the result produced by the right action is punyam. The result produced by the wrong action is papam. And the punyam and the papam are like blank checks. And the punyam gets translated into the experience of pleasure. Papam gets translated into the experience of pain. So undesirable situations, what we go through, are actually the translations of the papam earned as a result of our knowingly, unknowingly done actions. So any desirable situations are all the translations of punyam, which we have earned as a result of knowingly, unknowingly done actions. So that's why whatever we go through in life, adrishtam. Adrishtam is what? People in India, somebody gets lottery ticket, adrishtam. Adrishtam is a word used to mean luck. Okay, good luck and bad luck. Loss comes, adrishtam. Gain comes, adrishtam. Pleasure comes, adrishtam. Understand? Adrishtam means suddenly we are experiencing desirable, undesirable situations for which there is a reason, there is a cause. But you can't remember, don't know what the cause is. There is a reason behind whatever we are going through in life. Is it clear? There is definitely a reason. There is a cause. Some karma must be connected with whatever we are going through. But that we don't know now what the cause is. The result is experienced, but the cause is unknown. When the cause is unknown, it is called adrishtam. I did not do anything wrong knowingly in this life, but still lot of problems I go through in my life, means nothing can come without a cause. There must be some reason. But I don't know in which life, when, how, what wrong thing I did, we don't know. That is why it's adrishtam. Is it clear? Drishtam or adrishtam we go through in life. That is why it is said, whatever we, now we can understand the reason. So whatever we go through in life, all situations are determined by natural laws in keeping with our actions. The action was right, it has a punyam, the punyam was a what now? Result of determined by the law. Papam also is determined by law, and accordingly we go through situations. But even though they are determined by our results of punya papam are determined by natural laws, they are not permanent. They come and go. They are time bound. These situations. Okay? And when we live our lives, okay, this is how karma we do, and this all results cannot, I stop there in the morning, all results cannot be exhausted in one life. Therefore, like that, unexhausted results of actions get accumulated as sanchitam karma phalam. And we cannot say which is the first birth. We can never talk about first birth. Now you understand everything, how beginningless. Okay, there must have been accumulation of abundance of punya papams. So unexhausted results of right and wrong actions accumulated in many, 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 many janmas. We don't need to count. We don't need to worry about all those things. When did the first karma? When did they do the first karma? When what happened? Never ever don't waste your time searching for all that. Understand there is a cause. Okay? And these the results will be there. And the results have to be exhausted. There is no way of escaping those results. Results have to be exhausted. One has to be born for that. Isn't it? That is why the portion of sanchitam, a portion of sanchita karma, not all sanchita karmas, a portion of sanchitam alone is being exhausted in present life. Isn't it? And which is called prarabdham karma phalam. That is why the birth and death, in between birth and death, whatever a person has go through, all that is determined by prarabdha karma phalam. Well, exhaustion of prarabdha karma phalam, when you are born in the world, again we have to do karma. Again, living a life means you have to do karma. Again, when we are doing a karma, being ignorant, the same reason. Ajnanam, adhyasaha, adhyaropaha. Isn't it? Then ahankaraha, then kama, karma, like that. Again we accumulate punya papam. And the punya papams which we accumulate in this present janma, present life, adrishtam earned in this present life is going to come in future. Therefore it is called agami karma phalam. Sanchitam karma phalam. Portion of sanchitam is being exhausted in the present, which is called parabdha karma phalam. While exhausting the parabdham, you are accumulating the new punya papams, called agami karma phalam. And agami will join your sanchitam. Okay? So every time you are born, you are only exhausting a small, tiny little portion of sanchitam called prarabdha. You have huge sanchitam. But little you reduce exhaust here, again you earn, this goes and joins the sanchitam. So sanchitam ever remains big bundle, never gets reduced. That is why, how can we escape? There is no way of escaping. Karma sanchitam is there, paradha is exhausted. Again, while exhausting paradha, new agami is earned. New agami joins sanchitam. Sanchitam is there. Therefore, next set of paradha will be ready. Again, you have to be born. Again you have to be born. Again you have to be born. Is it clear? This is called, now there is no way of escaping. So as long as Sanchita Karma is there, so long will there be Parabdha Karma. So as long as Parabdha Karma is there, so long will there be accumulation of new Agami. As long as you accumulate Agami, so long will there be Sanchitam. Got it? This is called Samsara. Bondage of Samsara. Why do you call it bondage of Samsara? There is no way of escaping, coming out of this. I don't want to be born again. No choice. I want to live long. I don't want to die soon. No possible. You have no freedom. You cannot decide. Choose to be alive without being subject to death. You cannot choose not to be born again. You cannot choose not to exhaust the punya papams, pairs of opposites. You cannot choose your results of actions. There is no freedom. This is called bondage. Bandha. Karma bandha. Prarabdha. Sanchitat. Prarabdha. Parabdhad agami, agami punaha sanchita rupena. Understand? It's called bondage of karma, karma bandhaha, other is called samsaraha. Okay? Punarapi jananam, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. Punarapi janani jatare shayanam iha samsare bahudustare krupaya pare pahi murare. Hey murare pahi, krupaya pahi, please do protect me. Punarapi janam, punarapi maranam, samsara bandha. Why you were born? What is the immediate cause of your birth? Immediate cause of your birth is Prarabdha Karma Phalam. Understand? It seems every day when Prarabdha ends, you fall asleep. Again, Prarabdha begins, you wake up. In the deep sleep state, okay, Prarabdha. In class, if you fall asleep, bad Prarabdha. If you don't sleep in the night, bad Prarabdha. Understand? Satyam. So every day, we are woken up by your Prarabdha Karma Phalam. No way of escaping. Understand? What is saying? This is called bondage of karma. Immediate cause of janma is what? Karma. Karma phalam. Why phalam? What is the reason for phalam? Karma. What is the reason for karma? Desire. What is the reason for desire? Wrong notion. Isn't it? What is the reason for? Like that, we go. Moola karanam ajnanam. Samsarasya karanam ajnanam. Is it clear now? Ajnana karyam samsara. Samsara is caused by ignorance. Is it clear? Now you want freedom from bondage of karma, ka samsara. It's called moksha. Is it clear? Actually means freedom from bondage of karma is called moksha. In freedom, is freedom from bondage of karma means what? Actually, that this knowledge can be attained only when you are born as a human being. When you're living this life. Because human life, it is possible to prepare the mind, it is possible to attain jnanam, it is possible to discover freedom, it is possible to live this life here itself as Jeevan Muktaha, then when the Parabdha is exhausted, then the mind leaves, you can be free forever. It is called Videha Muktihi. Is it clear? Therefore, karma, this is what karma is. Now, let us read the Bhashyam here. Shankara Bhagavatpada said, Kechit Samshayam Kurvanti. These two mantras of Ishavasya Upanishad, where the words Vidya and Avidya are used, and where the combination of Vidya and Avidya, okay, are mentioned, is a combination of Vidya and Avidya is mentioned, actually it's a combination of karma and upasanam, and combination of two upasanams. But the word Vidya is mistaken to be the self-knowledge by some people. And they doubt, why can't we combine Atmajnanam? They do not understand the word Vidya here means Devata Jnanam Upasanam. You all must remember the technical term. Upasanam, meditation, is otherwise called Devata Jnanam. Okay? The word Vidya used in the context of Karma Kanda actually means Devata Jnanam, which is Upasanam. But these people mistake that word for Atma Jnanam, and they want to combine Atma Jnanam with Karma. See, when the word Avidya means Karma, that all of them accept. They have no problem. The word Avidya, which means actually ignorance, here in the Karma Kanda context, the word Avidya means Karma, that all of them accept. With reference to the word Avidya meaning Karma, there is no controversy. But the word Vidya meaning Upasanam, there is a controversy. Therefore, Samshayam Kurvanti. Ataha Tannirakaranartham. Therefore, for the sake of removing that doubt, Sankshepataha, briefly, Vicharanam Karishyamaha, we shall enquire here. Briefly. Now, next my sentence. Tatra Tavat Kinnimittaha Samshayaha Ityuchyate. Again, we have already discussed this sentence also. What is the reason for this doubt? That is said, and answer is given. Vidya shabdena mukhya paramatma vidyayeva kasmat na grihyate amritatvancha. And this is the Purvapakshi's view. Purvapakshi is asking. From here you have to start, okay? Vidya shabdena mukhya paramatma vidya eva kasmatna grihyate amritatvancha. This is the objection or question by Purvapakshi. Okay, the opponent. Okay. Now, vidya shabdena, by this word vidya, mukhya paramatma vidya eva kim kasmatna grihyate, why is it this word vidya is not taken to be self-knowledge? We must take this word vidya to be self-knowledge. And not only this word vidya be taken as self-knowledge, amrutatvam cha, even amrutatvam, the attainment of devatatma bhavaha or Hiranyagarbha Loka Prapti also, why should we not take it as moksha itself? He says the apekshika moksham should be taken as absolute freedom. Absolute freedom. He wants to take the word amrutatvam, that the word amrutatvam should be taken as absolute freedom. Vidya should be taken as jnanam, not upasanam. So he says, it means we can combine for moksha, you have to combine Atmajna, karma with Atmajna, Atmajnanam with karma. Why can't we do it? This is question. Answer comes. Nanu Uktayah Paramatma Vidyayah Karmanascha Virodhat Samuchaya Anupapattihi. See, Nanu means, hasn't it been told already? The tag. Hasn't it been told already? It has been already told. It has been already explained very clearly. Samuchayasya anupapattihi. It is impossible to combine knowledge and karma. Paramatma vidyayaha karmanaha karmanaha cha samuchayaha. Samuchaya anupapattihi, amuchayasya anupapattihi. Why? What is the reason, cause? Virodhat. Whenever the cause is mentioned, it must be in the fifth case. Okay, hetvarthe panchami. The reason is given, why did you not come to the class? Why did you come to the class? You have to say because, isn't it? You know, you have to say because, the reason, what the word used to mean, the reason must be in the fifth case of the grammatically. So virodhat, due to the contradiction, because they are opposed to each other. Now you know why opposed to each other? Is it clear? In jnanam, look at this, in jnana, now we understood how karma is the product of ignorance. If ajnanam is, karma will be there. The cause is, effect will be there. If you take the wood away from here, what will happen? The table also will disappear. Why? Karana nashe, karyasya nashaha. The cause is taken away, effect also will disappear. Similarly, if the ignorance is resolved, ignorance cause, effect also will what? What will happen? Will be resolved. As long as ignorance is, so long will there be adhya, sadhya, ropa, ahankara, asha, karma, karma, everything, karma is possible. When ignorance is resolved, karma will disappear. Therefore, knowledge is opposed to karma. They are opposed to each other. Is it clear? Not only karma, all sixfold enemies. For example, in the wake of the knowledge, okay, if the knowledge becomes very clear knowledge, then adhyasa is not possible. Ankara is not possible. Adhyaropa is not possible. Isn't it? Once kama, desire is not possible, along with the desire, there are friends, group of, okay, brothers and sisters. Kama, karma, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. All of them will disappear. For all of them, one word is what? Kama. All those will disappear. Therefore, I give you a small hint. I'm going out of the track to give you something nice information. These six are said to be ripavaha. Ripuhu means enemy. Ripavaha means enemies. Shad ripavaha. Six enemies. Okay. Shad arayaha. Arihi also means enemies. Shad arayaha, shad ripavaha means six enemies. Why they are called enemies? Because as long as they are there, they make you unhappy, they make you distressed, they make you depressed, they make you restless, they make you agitated, they disturb your peace. Therefore, they are enemies. Whoever disturbs your easiness is disease. The disease is what? Enemy. Isn't it? Six of them are our own enemies. But knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. These six are our enemies because they disturb us, disturb our peace, easiness. But knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. You know why? If knowledge is, nothing can exist there. If the light comes, darkness has to run away. Now, light is the enemy of darkness. Why? If light is, light will not allow any darkness to remain here. Come, come, be with me. Let us have a cup of tea together. No. That means friend, isn't it? But the minute light comes, darkness has to disappear. They are opposed to each other. Therefore, if allow the darkness to remain with the light, it will have been called a friend. But it doesn't allow the darkness to be around once the light comes. Therefore, enemy. Similarly, if knowledge takes place, all the six will be together chased away. Therefore, knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. It's called Shannam Arihi. Shannam Arihi means enemy of the six. Shat means six. Shad Arayaha. Shannam means of six. Shannam Arihi. You put, make it a compound word, Shadari. Shannam Arihi, Shadari. And the Shadari, if you go to Vaishnavi temples, they'll keep on cap like stuff. I don't know whether you have been to any temples. Go to Vaishnavi temples, there's something will be cap like, they'll put on your head. On the top of the, if you go to temples, have you been to Vaishnavi temples? Okay. Who has gone to temples? Okay. You have been? Okay. I'll show you something. I'll show you. On the top, there'll be on 2 feet. The 2 feet stand for Bhagavan's feet. They come and they keep inside and they'll bring it from the sanctum sanctorum. And after the tea, we have to get teertham first. We drink it. We're cleansed. After cleansing, they put the shadari on the top. That cap like thing is given the name shadari. The 2 feet there, Bhagavan symbolize jnanam, knowledge. If knowledge is, six cannot be there. Shadari means what? Enemy of the six. And who is the enemy of the six? Knowledge. Why? In the presence of knowledge, six cannot be there. Jnanam is not there, they all can be there. They are ignorance friendly. I told you many times. Ignorance friendly. Friends of ignorance. But enemy of? Knowledge is the enemy of the six. Ignorance is their friend. And also because their products are ignorance. Is it clear? So karma also. Karma means even kartrutvam will disappear. Bhoktrutvam will disappear. As long as I sense is identified with the body, kartrutvam is possible. I am the doer, motion is possible. When the I is shifted from anatma body to body and resort in consciousness cognitively, where is the doership? Where is the enjoyership? I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. All these notions will naturally resolve. And cognitively, how will you resolve? The doer is Atma, the done action is Atma, the doing is also Atma, the knower is Atma, known is Atma, and everything is Atma, Atma when you resolve, there is no real action as such. Is it clear? Therefore, what I want to understand, that they are opposed to each other. It's called, he says, Virodhat. Virodhat, Samuchaya Upapatthi, na. It's not possible to combine them because they are opposed to each other. Understand what is being opposition? They contradict each other, opposed to each other. Okay. Now, this is the old reason what he has been giving all the time. But Pura Pakshi is trying his best because there is no logical support, there is no Shruti support. But still he has his personal, that he has his own whims and fancies. So he wants to argue, somehow he wants to make the Advaita accept this. So he is trying his best. Look at this. Next. Pura Pakshi says, Satyam.
Satyam.
True. What you're saying is true. But Virodhastu na avagamyate. You say karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. But I do not understand this. Na avagamyate. For you, it seems, for me, this virodha is not understood. This opposition, this contradiction is not understood. And he says, virodha, avirodhayoho, shastra pramanakatvat. Yatha vidyanushtanam. Yatha avidya anushtanam. It's one long word. Yatha vidyanushtanam. Means it break it. Yatha avidya anushtanam. Vidya upasanancha. Shastra pramanakam. Tatha tad virodha avirodhau api. Now he gives his own reason. Okay, Purapakshi gives his own reason. What is the reason now he gives? See, you are saying karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. Okay, if the meaning is taken as upasanam, there's no problem. But the problem is, he takes that upasanam, the meaning out of vidya, as jnanam, and he also argues they must be combined. The reason he gives, the first reason he gives is, you say they're opposed to each other, but still we cannot decide that karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. You are deciding it, he says. You decide karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. Shruti does not decide it. If Shruti decides, we can accept it. We have Shraddha in Shruti. We will not question Shruti. Okay, he says. And Shruti does not say karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. Here he says, virodha avirodhayoho shastra pramanakatvat. See, who prescribes karma? Who prescribes karma? Shruti. Karma kandaha. Okay, karma. Vedoktam karma. The rituals to be followed are prescribed by the karma kanda. Who prescribes karma? Shruti. Veda. Veda alone prescribes karma. Who prescribes meditation, upasanam? Veda. And who prescribes the results also? Veda. Isn't it? And who? What is the pramanam? Veda. Veda is the pramanam. Rituals are prescribed in the karma kanda, upasanam. Prescribed in the karma upasana kanda, which means shruti is the pramanam. And the same shruti must be taken as a pramanam, even to understand virodha avirodha, whether karma and jnanam are opposed to each other or not. That we should not decide, karma, Shruti should decide. Because the Atma jnana, knowledge of the reality is unrevealed by what? Shruti. Who gives us self-knowledge? What is the pramanam for self-knowledge? Shruti. Isn't it? You are not the pramanam. You cannot show Atma. Is it clear? None of us can show Atma. None of us can really come, let me teach you, make you understand what Atma is. No. We need the pramanam. Shruti is the pramanam. To know the Atma, we need the Shruti is the pramanam. And to prepare the mind to perform karma, Shruti is the pramanam. Upasanam, Shruti is the pramanam. Therefore, if Shruti alone prescribes karma, Shruti alone is the means of knowledge of the truth, and Shruti herself must say there should not be combined or not. Shruti does not say whether jnanam and karma can be combined or not. Shruti is the pramanam. We should take only Shruti, not your decision we cannot accept. We should take only Shruti as the pramanam. He says, Viroda avirodayoho shastra pramanakatvat. Now he says, Yatha avidya anushthanam. Avidya anushthanam is what? Performance of karma. Performance of karma is prescribed by Shruti. Next sentence. Vidyayaha upasanam. Vidya upasanam means pursuit of knowledge. Pursuit of knowledge is prescribed by the Shruti. Performance of ritual is prescribed by Shruti. Means Shastra Pramanakatvat. Shastram is the Pramanam for performance of ritual. Shastram is the Pramanam for the pursuit of knowledge. Tatha, similarly, see next page, now page number 70. Tad Virodha Avirodhau Api Virodha 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 Vapi Virodha Virodha Vapi means Virodha Avirodha. Whether there is opposition, whether it's a Virodha, there's no Virodha. Whether it's contradiction or not, for that also we must only take Shruti as the Pramanam. Shruti's decision only we should take, we should not decide. Because who prescribed jnanam, atma jnanam? Who is the pramanam for atma jnanam? Shruti. Who prescribes karma? Shruti. Who prescribes upasanam? Shruti. And who should decide, who should be taken as, what should be taken as the means of knowledge of the contradiction, non-contradiction? Shruti. Therefore he says, therefore, and he gives example also to say this. What's the example he gives? Very serious example. Yatha cha na himsyat sarva bhutani iti shastrat avagatam. See, na himsyat sarva bhutani. All beings should not be hurt. No being should be hurt. Himsam na kuryat. One should not hurt other beings. Shruti, who says this? Shruti teaches. Punaha, same Shruti, punaha again. Shastre naiva badhyate. And by saying that statement, may you not hurt, okay, may one not hurt, cause pain to other beings. Himsam na kuryat, no? The himsna himsyat sarva bhutani. The shastrat avagatam. It is understood from shastra, this statement. Punaha shastre naiva badhyate. That statement is negated by shastram itself in some other context. Where? Look at this. Adhvare pashum himsyat iti. Somewhere in karma kanda, somewhere some line is there. What is that? Adhvaraha means ritual. For in performing a given ritual, may animal be, no, animal be offered, means animal is hurt. Hurting the animal in performing a given ritual is prescribed by the same Shruti Karmakanda. The same Shruti says what? Na himsam na kuryat. In fact, Vaidika dharma is what? Paramo dharma, ahimsa paramo dharma. I tell you, the strength of Veda is in determining this fact. Ahimsa paramo dharmaha, non-hurting, non-violence, you know, non-injury is the most exalted of all values. All other values are followed for the sake of, you know, following this one value of non-hurting. So paramo dharmaha, the whole Veda is governed with dharma. But even such a Veda, the Veda everywhere, if you see, himna himsyat, himsam na kuryat, it is said everywhere. But punaha atena shastre naiva badhyate. This statement is negated by same Veda. Somewhere, some other context, in the context of karma kanda, somewhere pashum himsyat adhvare iti. It is said which means Veda states two different statements. Okay, he quotes that. So Veda itself is the pramanam. Okay, so himsa, one who should not do himsa, one contest Veda says pramanam is Veda. Another contest Veda says himsam kuru. Is it clear? So that it means same Veda should tell us. What is that? There is contradiction between karma and jnanam. Or there is no contradiction between karma and jnanam. Veda does not say that. It is your decision. So, what is that? Vidya, okay, let's see that now. Yevam vidya vidyayorapi syat. In the same way, there must be clear, authentic expression of Veda Shastram itself stating, yes, there is contradiction between karma and jnanam. Knowledge and karma are opposed to each other. There is no contradiction. There is a virodha is or virodha is not. So Veda should state. Okay, Veda is the pramana for that. Veda doesn't say that. Veda does not say anything. Veda only prescribes this, 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 that's all. Therefore, vidya karmanoscha samuchayaha. Therefore, we can combine knowledge with karma. Combination of knowledge and karma is possible. This is Purapakshi's argument. Is it clear now? Very clear. Next. And Shankaracharya says, he quotes, Shankaracharya now quotes from Kathopanishad. He quotes Kathopanishad statement. Look at it. Na durameete viparite vishuchi avidya ya cha vidya. So Kathopanishad, first chapter, second section, fourth mantra. Iti shrutehe. Now Shankaracharya says, okay, you want specific statement of Veda where vidya karmanoho contradiction is stated. So many are there. But he thought, okay, one sentence is enough. He just brought one sentence from Kathopanishad. Because he wants Shruti's Pramanyam. He wants what authentic statement from Veda itself. He doesn't want him to decide. Okay? So, now, we can say Siddhanti. Siddhanti means what? Advaiti. In the form of Shankara, gives an answer. For Jnana Karma Samuchayavadi is the Purvapakshi. Siddhanti is Advaiti. Siddhanti means the one who answers. So he quotes a Vedic statement. Come on, look at this. This is a statement from Kathopanishad, Shruti Vakyam, and here Shruti makes it very clear, the virodha, the contradiction. Understand? Karma, are following? Are you all with me? Hope you are not lost. Okay. See, look at this. There is a statement which very clearly said here, knowledge, self-knowledge, paramatma jnanam and karma cannot be combined. And what is the statement? Look at it. No. They can't combine at all. It is said here, durameete, viparite. Ete duram. Ete means avidya, jnanam, atma jnanam and karma are duram. They are far from each other. Nowhere they are near. Ete means what? These two, vidya and atma jnanam, paramatma jnanam and karma are far from each other. Viparite, opposed to each other. Vishuchi, they are in two different directions. Far from each other, they are opposed to each other. And if in two different directions, okay, Vishuchi, what are they? Avidya cha, vya cha vidya, avidya karma, and vidya jnanam, atma jnanam. Okay, atma jnanam and avidya, which means karma, they are in two different directions, far away, opposed to each other. Come on, look at this Shruti's statement. I am not deciding, it's not my decision. You think my decision, so you are unhappy. Now look at this. He quotes, always at a Shruti, is called support of Shruti. Okay, if somebody wants strength, they can go and hide behind Shruti statement, isn't it? And have protecting oneself. When the Shruti statement is protect like a shield, he is a warrior, can stand behind, and Shruti statement is his shield. So he states this statement. Now, what happens? Vidyamcha, avidyamcha, iti, vachanat, avirodha, iti chet. Now he says, you quote that sentence, but I have Ishavasim sentence. Your sentence is from Kathopanishad, but my quotation is from Ishavasyam. And what a sentence he quoted, do you remember? Just now we finished reading, studying 11th mantra and 14th mantra, he already quoted. Remember, avidyaya mrityam tirtva vidyaya amrtam ashnute, vinashena mrityam tirtva asambhutya amrtam ashnute. He quotes, okay, I have these statements for my support. Which means, you say the non, there's a contradiction is there between jnanam and karma. See, my statements also from Upanishad only. But according to these statements of the Ishavasi Upanishad, there's no contradiction. Avirodha. There's no virodha. Okay, according to Siddhanti, there is virodha. According to Purvapakshi, there is avirodha, non-contradiction. It means they are not opposed to each other, so they can be combined. Is it clear? And here, we had to stop. I had to go out and tell you something. See, in Karma Kanda, now he cannot deny this, no, they cannot deny. He has his own statement, he has his own statement. So, even though Ishavasya mantra, the word vidya does not mean atmajnanam, it means only upasanam. Still, even if we take it as what he says also, Purupakshi says, so in Karma Kanda, there is some arrangement. If two Vedic statements, the two statements of Veda, if they contradict each other, it is, then it can be taken as an optional. It can be taken as an option. You can either follow this, the two statements which contradict each other. And both statements are Vedic statements. In such, if there are two Vedic statements which are opposed to each other, then one can be taken, other can be left. Which means there is option available. It becomes optional. And such an option, the statement which is the contradictory statements which are optional, okay, is said to be Vikalpaha. And when is Vikalpaha accepted? Option is accepted in Veda. Whenever Vedic statements themselves, the two Vedic statements or two different portions of Veda mantras, they contradict each other, then because Veda is the authentic source of knowledge, which sentence should I take? Doubt comes, then Veda says optional. You can do, you cannot, you cannot do it. and for which Adishankara Bhagavatpada actually quotes from some statements, very important, very famous example he quotes when he writes commentary upon Brahma Sutra. Okay. And there he writes, he says, Udite Juhoti. Udite Juhoti means when a person gets up early in the morning, he performs a ritual. And another statement also is that Anudite Juhoti. Even if he doesn't, if he gets up late also, he should perform a ritual. So getting up early is right, or not getting up early is right, optional. At least getting up late you perform. Okay. Anudite Juhoti. He worships. Getting up late, one should perform a ritual. Or one get up early to perform a ritual. Udite Juhoti, Anudite Juhoti. These two statements contradict each other. One says you must get up early to perform a ritual. Other one says doesn't matter, even if you get up late, it's okay. Two statements of Veda contradict each other. Okay, I can give so many examples also. And in performing certain ritual, there is one statement. There are many vessels used to brought for the puja. His 16th vessel, may you hold it. Shodashim, Grinnatu. Another statement is, no, don't take it, 16th one. Like this, Udite Juhoti, Anudite Juhoti. Isn't it? Whether a person, the two statements of Veda contradict each other. In such occasions, Veda itself tells, take it as an optional commandment. Not compulsory commandment, optional. You can get up early in the morning and do, or you can get up late also. So now he says, Purapakshi uses that, okay. Why? Now he wants to compromise. Okay, you have shown your sentence, I have shown my sentence, so now we can compromise with each other, that they contradict each other. Your statement, your quotation from karma, your quotation from Kathopanishad reveals virodha, no, contradiction. I quotation from this Ishavasya Upanishad reveals non-contradiction. So now Vedic statements contradict each other. They do not contradict at all. But he says contradict each other. So now what we can do? We can compromise. Those people, those whoever wants to follow Krishna Yajurveda Kathopanishad can take virodha. And whoever wants to follow Shukla Yajurveda, Ishavasya Upanishad, can follow non-contradiction. They can combine. Shankaracharya says, no. Such an option is possible only with regard to karma. But with regard to fact, knowledge option is not possible. Okay? Option, Veda, wherever Veda Vedic statements are contradictory, there Vikalpaha is allowed. Option is given. It is optional. But such an option is possible only with regard to action. Anything pertaining to sadhyam, an action to be done, okay? With regard to action, karma, it is possible. But with regard to fact, it is not possible. I'll give the example here. Let me give our own little small example. If I say, Ishwara, do namaskaram. I say, please do namaskaram. I'm just joking. I say, Ishwara, do namaskaram. I say, okay? He has options. He can do namaskaram or he need not do namaskaram also. So with regard to action, he has choice. Kartum, he can choose to do, or he need not do, or he can do what? He can do something differently. If I ask him to namaskar, he can sing. This is called choice over action. Over action, you have choice. Option is possible. He can do namaskaram, or he need not do namaskaram, or he can, instead of doing namaskaram, he can dance or sing something, he can do. This is called what? Choice over action. This option is possible only with regard to karma. Suppose now I say, there is an apple near Krishna's feet. Look at this. There is an apple near Krishna's feet, I say. Apple near Krishna's feet. There is an apple. Is it to say there is an apple near Krishna's feet? Any choice? Can you choose? No, there is no apple. Can you say that? Because it is a fact, it's not karma. There is an apple is not an action, it's a statement of fact. There is an apple is a statement of fact, it is not an action. You can say what? Yes, there is an apple. Or okay, if you say what? I think there is no apple, there is one monkey sitting. Oh, Hanuman is there, so I cannot say monkey. Okay, there is an apple. Also, okay. No, there is a... No, there is appadilla. Some other fruit is there. As a cat is sitting. You can say anything. So, apple is there is a fact. There no option. Is there any option there? There's no option. Like that here, he says, this all day, virodaha or avirodaha. Contradiction or non-contradiction is not an action. Okay? Whether there's contradiction or non-contradiction is a fact to be analyzed and arrived at. There's no choice. So no vikalpa possible. No combination possible. Okay, he says. Then, Purupakshi, he will not leave. He will not even stop here. That option is gone. Okay. And for which? And he says, he used the proper reason. Further, between Shruti and the Smriti. Suppose there is a statement from Smriti and statement from Shruti. Between these two statements, which should be taken? Shruti should be accepted. Similarly, when the Shruti Vakyam itself, okay, have any problem comes, and it should be whether what is said by Shruti is correct or not. Okay, to understand, Yukti must be used. Now, if you say Virodaha is or Avirodaha is, he says Avirodaha, that is non-contradiction, they are not opposed to each other. That is Purupakshi's view. And Siddhanti's view is what? There is contradiction. If this is there, now to prove this fact, to prove that this statement is correct, and the Shruti should be supported by Yuktihi. Reasoning. Logic must be used. If logic, already Shankara is established logically, but now he says, if Shruti, when the Shruti doubt comes, a fact revealed by the Shruti can be established with Yukti's support, with the support of reasoning, logically it can be established. Therefore he gives the reason. Okay. Read the sentence. Na. Hetu swarupa. phala virodhat. Ka logically he establishes. Hetu means cause, swarupam means nature, phalam means result. If you analyze, called analysis, okay, logically establishing. If you take the cause, na hetu, cause of karma, and this jnanam, there is a difference. How it is difference? Remember the meaning of the first verse of Ishavasya. In jnanam, duality, plurality, multiplicity, or triputi bheda, all differences, karak kriya karma phala bhedaha, karma nama rupa karma phala bhedaha, all differences and divisions are resolved in jnanam. Kartruttam is resolved in jnanam, bhaktruttam is resolved in jnanam. There is negation of duality in jnanam. Whereas, to perform any karma, duality is retained. Is it clear now? See, performance of karma is dependent on duality, which means ignorance must be there. In jnanam, duality is negated. Therefore, duality, where the karma which is dependent on duality, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, etc., cannot be combined with the jnanam where kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam are negated. It is called hetu virodha. Okay? Dvaitam is needed for karma. Dvaitam is negated in jnanam. Therefore, jnanam and karma cannot be combined. Hetu is the first reason he gives. Second reason, swarupam. Swarupam means in jnanam, kartrutvam is resolved, bhaktrutvam is resolved, even jati matvam. I am a brahmana, I am a kshatriya, I am of this, I am a woman, I am a man. All these identities are resolved in jnanam. Whereas to perform a ritual, you must have identity. I am the doer, I am the performer, I am going to enjoy the results, I want this result. This identity is important to perform a karma. Therefore, it is called swarupa bhedaha. So, swarupa virodha. Not bhedaha, swarupa virodha. In nature, karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. In cause, karma and jnanam are opposed to each other. Now he is going to give one more. Phala virodhat. Even the result of karma is time bound. The result of jnanam is timeless moksha. The karma, which is product of ignorance, when performed, produces a result which is time-bound in nature. Whereas the knowledge of Atma itself is result which is timeless moksha. So, phala bhedaha. Karmanaha phalam anityam phalam. Atma jnanasya phalam nityam phalam. Timeless result, time-bound result. The nature of jnanam, if you take, in jnanam, all these doership, penjaship, etc. will be resolved. To perform a karma, doership must be there, penjaship must be there. What is negated should be retained to perform a karma. Therefore, there is a hetu. Hetu taha, if you look from the standpoint of cause, karma and jnanam and karma are opposed to each other. The standpoint of the nature of jnanam and karma, they are opposed to each other. The standpoint of result, all they are opposed to each other. This is called logic. He gives the reason. Therefore, virodha asti. Virodha asti is a statement of fact. There is contradiction between karma and atma jnanam. Now, self-knowledge and karma are opposed to each other is a fact. And that fact is established by logically like this. Is it clear? So there's no option, because it's not an action, it is a statement of fact. It has to be analyzed and logically established. Okay? Therefore, this is the reason Shankaracharya gives here. Okay, now let us see next statement. Vidya, avidya, virodha, avirodhayoho, vikalpa, asambhavat. Vikalpa asambhavat. It is not possible for to have option between self-knowledge and karma. Okay? Sorry. It is not possible to have option between the contradiction and non-contradiction between karma and jnanam. You can't take, okay, let us accept that the fact, let us accept this. There is contradiction between karma and jnanam. You can accept that. Okay, there's no contradiction between karma and jnanam. We'll accept that also. Such an option, is it? Option, there's no option in accepting contradiction or non-contradiction between karma and jnanam. Why? Because this is not an action. Such an option is possible. Choice of this or that is possible only with regard to karma. With reference to statements of fact, there is no option. A fact means fact has to be understood. Isn't it? It's a fact or not, should be analyzed and understood. So he says, vikalpa asambhavat. Vikalpa is not possible with reference to a statement of fact. Samuchaya vidhanat virodaha eva iti chet. Now he says, Purupakshi, okay, the option you don't accept between virodha and avirodha. Avirodha or virodha? Is there contradiction between karma and jnanam? Or there's no contradiction between karma and jnanam. That is not, you cannot take it as an option, because you say it is not a karma, it is a fact to be understood. But he still wants to say, now he goes back, no. The quotation you quoted from Kathopanishad is actually a statement, you know where it is somewhere near, it is an arthavadaha. In Arthavadaha. Now this statement comes in the place where Yama praises Nachiketas. There's a place Yama praises Nachiketas. I don't want to go into the details of Kathopanishad. I can briefly tell you. See, this Nachiketas goes to Yamaloka and he is sitting there waiting for Lord Yama to come. He's such a nice boy. Which other child will go to Yamaloka? The father, by mistake, he tells, he goes and asks as a child, when he was so busy, father was so busy performing a ritual. And his boy goes and asks, Dad, you are giving so many gifts to so many people, whom are you going to give me as a gift? This father was in a hurry, I am going to give it to Lord Yama. He said, finished. Because he said, uttered one sentence, immediately this boy came to Yamaloka. The father, suppose nowadays children will talk back, how dare you go, you promise Yama to give, you want to give me as a gift Lord Yama. This boy, he want to protect his father's words. He did not want his father's rituals to be non-effective, non-productive. He wanted his father to enjoy the benefits of ritual. So he was in Yamaloka knocking at the door of this Yama. And Yama, 3 days he waited. And Yama came back rushing, oh, such a great person, great righteous boy has come to me and waited for 3 days. And if somebody stays in my house fasting, it's a papam for me, starving. So he wanted to convince this boy and send back. He asked, he wanted only self-knowledge. Yama thought, what? Such a tiny boy has come and he wants self-knowledge. Even 80s and 90 people, of old people, don't want jnana. This boy wants jnana. So he tried to convince him. Now how he tried to convince children with lollipops and things? So that he gave all big things. I'll give you that, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll give you that. So many things he describes. This boy says, come on. Keep all your dance and all musics and everything you keep for yourself. I am not interested at all. I give me only one thing. Yama thought, this boy, amazing boy. So Yama understood how dispassionate this person is. Yama understood Nachiketas' vairagyam. Yama was glorifying Nachiketas. That context, this statement comes. Somewhere the statement. Therefore, even though this statement says karma and jnanam are far away from each other, opposed to each other, they are in two different directions. When he said that, this statement actually reveals the contradiction between karma and jnanam. But the statement comes in the context of glorification. Therefore, here Purupakshi says, your statement is from Arthavada portion. Whereas my statement, what I have quoted, Ishavasam, comes in the Karmakanda portion. Karmakanda means Vidhi portion. May you perform ritual. No? In that Vidhi, Karmakanda means you are always ordained to perform. Vidhi. Do this. Therefore, Vidhi portion, the portion of Veda, where the commandment is there, that is more important, efficacious than the Arthavada, statements from Arthavada portion. Okay. Therefore, he says, my quotation is more powerful than yours. Therefore, I think there is no contradiction. We can combine jnanam and karma. Then Siddhanti thought, now it is high time. I've been keeping quiet. Look at the logic. Let us go by logic. When Shruti's statement is a statement of fact, then Shruti's statement of fact must be established, supported by logic, reasoning. And he gives this reasoning is what? That's why the answer goes to the answer already is given. Na, when he said, Hetu Virodhat. There's a difference in cause. Then, Swarupa Virodhat, Phala Virodhat. Okay, what is Hetu Virodha? Please understand here. Again, I'm repeating. It's very good for you to remember. Hetu Virodhat, Swarupa Virodhat, then Phala Virodhat. There's a Virodha. Contradiction, opposition between knowledge and karma, they cannot be combined at all, because to perform any karma, the duality must be retained. You cannot negate everything is mithya, there is no jagat, say you can do karma. So duality must be retained. Means what? Ajnana must be there. Duality must be there. Only then karma can be performed. Whereas in jnanam, karma, karta, all karaka, kriya, pala, all differences are negated. There is upamardhanam. Negation. Therefore, this is the hetu. This is the reason why they cannot be combined. Hetu means reason. Second reason is given. Swarupa bhedaha. What swarupa bhedaha? To perform a ritual, the qualification required and the part of a performer is, I am the doer, I am performing this ritual, I am going to enjoy this benefit, I want this result. This is the nature of the karma karta. Whereas in jnanam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, all notions will be negated. Even I am a Brahmana Kshatriya, I am so and so. Isn't it? Even there is no identity. In jnanam, identity is negated, resolved into perform a karma, identity is required. The Surupa Bhedaha. Is it clear? Then the word Surupa in this context is different meaning. The nature of wise person and an Ajnani. Let us see. Then Palavirodhat. The result produced by karma is time bound. Isn't it? Second thing, whereas result of self knowledge is what?
Timeless.
Second thing, self knowledge itself is result. Whereas knowledge of karma has to be implemented to produce a karma. Is it clear? So, pala bhedaha, surupa bhedaha, hetu bhedaha. Therefore, the statement of Veda, there is contradiction. Karma and Atmajnanam are opposed to each other. They cannot be combined at all. Okay? That is said here. Now he says, he answered that also. Na saha sambhava anupapattehe. Okay, saha sambhava anupapat. Therefore, they cannot simultaneously also cannot be. They cannot be combined simultaneously. They cannot be followed simultaneously. Performance of karma, pursuit of knowledge cannot be combined. Cannot happen simultaneously. Sequentially, they can be followed. Okay, the rest I will come back and see if the next topic comes. I have two more paragraphs. I'll do it tomorrow. It's clear now? But still a little dry for you, maybe, but still it's good to know. As I said, that particular portion I covered. So next paragraph I didn't go to. Okay, I stopped it. I can't finish it now anyway. See, vikalpaha is a technical term used in the Karmakanda, which means option. Okay. So in Veda, sometimes two different statements are revealed, and if they contradict each other, or two different portions of Veda contradict each other, and which should be followed? Because we look up to Veda for everything. If Veda says, okay, then we'll decide. But Veda itself says two things means, which should I follow? Then Veda says there is an option. You either choose to do this or do this. Okay. Therefore, always that such an option is possible only with regard to karma, an action. Fact is already siddham. Fact is already a siddha vastu, accomplished one. Fact is ever accomplished, already accomplished. Know that? Fact is a siddha vastu. As action is a sadhyam. You have to perform action to achieve something, result. Whereas fact is already accomplished. Siddham, siddha vishayaha, fact. Whereas action is sadhyam, which has to be done and then it has to produce a result. All facts are like that. For example, the world is round. The world is round. There was a view once upon a time, the world was flat. The world is flat. Isn't it? The view was there. And that view is only a view. And that view was logically re-established, negated, and the fact was established. The world is not flat, it is round. Gola. Isn't it? Now it's a fact when I say this fact is newly created or what? Fact is always a siddha vastu, siddha vishayaha. Facts are all always knowledge. They're all covered. Facts, when the fact remains covered, we are ignorant of facts. When the fact is discovered, it is knowledge. There are no choice. Is it clear? That any fact, that's why any scientific research or any medical field or physics field or chemistry field, any discipline, any research is what? Research. People already discover new facts. They do not create facts. They discover new facts. Because fact is always already siddham. It need not be newly made and brought out. Researches are only for discovering already existing facts. And the fact is discovered, it's a newly discovered fact. It is not created. Such facts are, as far as the facts are concerned, we have no option there. Either you have understood the fact or you have not understood the fact. The world is round is a fact. When somebody said world was flat, they have not understood the fact and they had their wrong view. But nobody can say the other person is wrong, the view is wrong, unless other person comes and establishes the fact logically. He has to prove how other person's view is wrong, and he has to say his view is correct. He proves, it becomes what? Fact, discovered fact. Is it clear? So either understood or ununderstood. Fact can be like that. Either it is understood or it is not understood. That's all. There is no choice. I can take this word as to be. Round is also correct. Fact is also correct. There is no option there. Between fact. Okay. Let us go around this ashram. Run 5 times. Option is there. Is it clear? Therefore, whether there is contradiction between karma and jnanam are opposed to each other, are not opposed to each other, is a fact to be, what is a fact? Whether there is contradiction or non-contradiction. It's a statement of fact. We have to analyze, understand the fact. It's not for we can't take anything as an option. Clear? That's what Shankara Bhagavatpada established. You know, this fact he brought to light for Purapakshi. But he's still not convinced. Purapakshi. Okay. So we'll come and see tomorrow morning. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harih Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harih Om. Questions?
Regarding the morning class, I still did not understand how partial ignorance is coming out of total ignorance. how is it coming, and also what is the difference between Vyasa and Adhyaropa.
Okay, I'll tell you. See, there is manifestation of knowledge. I said there's difference in manifestations. Even the source of manifestation is one and the same. There's difference in the level of manifestation, in keeping with the manifesting medium, sukshma. The difference in the level of sukshma, manifesting medium, there's a difference in the level of manifestation also. But the source of manifestation is one and the same. Is it clear? Suppose you have three different mirrors. One mirror is dusty. You see your face. Reflection is not very clear. One mirror is moving like this. And the reflection also is moving. And one mirror is very clean and nice and firm. It's a clear reflection. Same face. The difference is in reflection because of the difference in reflecting medium. In the same way. Example, don't stretch it, okay? Just understand it. The same way, in keeping with the difference in manifesting medium, the level of manifestation also differs. Like that, the human mind is the most very sophisticated manifesting medium where highest form of manifestation is possible. And what is the highest form of manifestation, if you say? Knowledge of the existence of the very self. And how do you understand that? That knowledge manifests alone, expressed in the next word, I. I, when you say the first person singular pronoun, I, is expression of knowledge. Which knowledge? Manifest knowledge. And that I is used by all the people to refer to one's own self. Is it clear? Like that, any word is expression of manifestation of knowledge. A word cannot be without the manifestation of knowledge. Okay? Word is expression of manifest knowledge. And the manifest knowledge is possible because of the source of knowledge. Is it clear? Like that, naturally, how far the knowledge is manifest, if you say, the knowledge of the existence of the self, that's all. That is naturally there. Without any effort, naturally, that far manifestation is. We don't need to work hard. So in other beings, even that manifestation, such manifestation is not there. Is it clear? How in your physical body there's knowledge is manifest? Only to that level, other beings also knowledge is manifest. Only in mind, manifestation is different. But manifestation is there, but there's no distance. Is it clear? No. But other half manifestation is not there. So suppose if you analyze, oh, what is this I? What this I is, what is this manifest knowledge, okay, obtaining in the form of thought. When it is there, the whole world shines, the overknown duality comes, differences are there, enjoyment is possible, everything functions, whole life comes back. When this knowledge, there's a time this knowledge is not there. Why? Why there's a sleep? Why I do not know my own existence? Why the whole world disappears? The whole world suddenly disappears. Everything becomes non-existent, as good as non-existent for me when I fall asleep. Why? Why can't I have only waking state? Why should I not have only waking state? Why can't I be doing all the things, enjoying things? Why should there be something called deep sleep state? Is it clear? I'm asking, listen, are you listening?
I don't know.
I'm not asking you, I'm just telling you to think here. Why should there be, I'm not asking the question, just is Akshepartya Prashna, Natu. I'm not expecting any reply from you. I'm just questioning, why is not there? Why can't it be? Because that is the nature. That's how the order is. Which means, this I sense comes, okay, then everything comes. Everything, life, whole life comes. I sense goes, everything disappears. Which means, what is this I? Where does it come from? Where does it exist? Where does it go back? When it goes on, it disappears. Where does it go back? Again, from where it comes back. When you want to know, that's called knowing what I am. Okay? If the knowledge is already there, will you ask the question? Understand? So half knowledge is there naturally. One must be a thinker to ask such a question. Suppose with lot of worries and pain and suffering, we go to Mahatma and they'll tell us, you better understand what this I is, all your problems will disappear. Okay? So naturally partial knowledge is there. If we know I am, that's half knowledge. If we know what I am, then knowledge is total. Okay? That's what we, there's no partial anything, I'm just saying. We differentiate it. That's why I say partial and total. Knowledge is complete. Complete knowledge. If you say waves, it is knowledge of the existence. Suppose I come here, I do not even know where ocean is. Before I came to NASA, before I came to this ashram, I did not know there is ocean. Suppose imagine, I do not even know what the word ocean means. Imagine, I do not know at all. For me, the word ocean, I don't know what ocean, what does it mean? I do not know. Imagine. Then I come to see, oh, I do not know there is ocean. Then I find out ocean is. This is the first knowledge. Knowledge of existence itself is what? Knowledge. A leap. And once knowledge of existence of ocean is, oh, what is this ocean? That you don't know. Then go near and see, admire. I'm really astonished, spellbound, huge, so many waves, and so many things are happening, huge cruise ships, catamarans, yachts, ships, boats, merry boats, all these lots of things, so many things are happening. And to find, what is this ocean all about? Water. Ocean is water, when I say, now total, complete knowledge. Okay? That's all. Like that, what I am itself is what is I, then am is half knowledge of your own existence. But what is I is, where does it come from? Where does it exist? When you know, knowledge is complete. I say I is. Ocean is water. So what this I is? What is this I? Okay? Very subtle. Your I is Atma. And you grammatically wrong, okay? Otherwise correct. I is Atma. Their complete knowledge. Okay? And such knowledge is possible only for a human being. Because human being alone has this half knowledge. That is why I say half. There's no half or full, okay? this knowledge of existence is a blessing in disguise for a human being. No other being has this. If any other being has this, then we cannot use horses to ride. They will ride on us. Okay? You can't, like I want a horse, you can't go on this, because that doesn't have knowledge I am. If the horse has the knowledge of self-existence, then cars will not let us climb on it. Understand? Okay, this is knowledge. Now, our next question you asked was difference between adhyasaha and adhyaropaha. You read translations, you will see for both words, the word adhyasaha is used for both. The reason is, the erroneous perception of the self is adhyasaha. You mistake the body, mind and complex for the self. There is error. Then, error in the perception of the dharmas also. You mistake the dharmas, attributes, limitations of body as your problems. There is also error. In both, error is involved. Therefore, the word adhyasaha is used to mean adhyaropa also. Is it clear? The word adhyasaha is used to mean erroneous self-perception and also to say the superimposition of limitations of anatma upon the atma. But to make it much clearer, we use another term adhyaropaha. Aropaha means, taking on. Aropanam means what? Superimposing. It is not there, but you take it. Both are actually very close, actually, really speaking. Adhyasaha means error there. In taking the limitations of anatma to be your limitations also, what? There also error is involved. And taking the body to be yourself is error. Taking the body's problems to be your problems also is error. Both error is involved. Therefore, the word adhyasa is common. But to separate, we use another term, adhyaropa. Have you answered? Any other questions?
Regarding the contradiction between karma and atmanyana, so for atmanyana, karma sannyasa is required because of the contradiction.
You mean vidut sannyasa?
For a renunciation of action.
Now, I tell you what it is. See, here, the virodha, contradiction between karma and jnanam are discussed here. Why the top that is discussed here? Just to make it very clear, for moksha you need only jnanam. What you want is moksha. Moksha is a choiceless end. There is no way. You have to discover moksha either in this janma or next janma, some other janma, sometime or the other in the whole life. One day moksha has to be discovered. No choice. Until and unless you discover moksha, you cannot escape this samsara. You will be coming again and again and again and again and again. You will be coming. There is no way. And then moksha has to be discovered. For the discovering moksha, you need not do anything at all. You need only jnanam. This is the fact. To establish this fact, this is discussed. Because very difficult for us to give up karma to come to jnanam. So jnanam is emphasized. The fact is emphasized. But even though jnanam is the only means, but it is not easy for people to come to, because it's very abstract. It needs tremendous amount of dispassion and maturity and commitment, not an easy joke at all. Therefore, it is told that everybody should do karma. But even that karma, not simply doing mechanically, one must do it as a discipline and certain rule, okay, what is the attitude you should entertain, how commitment to that dharma, how values must be followed. One must live values in doing one's duties. isn't it? There's also emphasized here for this. But Vidvat Sanyasaha, actually, when a person studies the Shastram or somehow being exposed to the teaching, the person understands the fact, Aham Atma. Actually, this I actually is Atma. This I actually is not nothing to do with the mind, body and sense complex. Even though without the I sense, there cannot be body, mind, sense complex. There cannot be something called individual. There cannot be performance of actions, enjoyment of results. Nothing is possible. But definitely, I is distinct from this body, mind, sense complex. This body falls apart after some time. The mind, you know, is also so sukshma, keeps running. Actually speaking, the I actually is Atma. And that Atma is actually formless, all-pervasive consciousness reality, which has no birth, no death, no nothing. Nothing is not subject to any destruction. When a person identifies I sense with that Atma, okay, the individuality goes. The actual problem is centered on I. I am a mortal. If somebody else is mortal, means I have no problem. I am a mortal is the problem, isn't it? Somebody else is going to die. I am going to die. Huh? Fear comes. So, I am insecure. I am unhappy. I am suffering. I, the problem is centered on I. That is the problem. Isn't it? Therefore, when the I, what is I is discovered, the fundamental problem gets resolved. So, an Atma, a person who knows Atma, I am Atma, okay, I am distinct from all these things, and such a person, naturally, he should what now? He will take to life of sannyasa. He will not be interested in anything. He has understood this. Take the life of sannyasa means what? All mentally he has renounced. Because this jnanam, the maturity born of knowledge, okay, for him. And he takes sannyasa means, what does he do? What he has already understood, and he lives a life of contemplation. He repeatedly abides in the vision what he has got. That is for assimilation, and he remains. So that he is called Vidvat Sanyasa. Vidvat Sanyasa. But there are some people who are mature, being exposed to the teaching, who understood, living a life of karma yoga, practice of meditation, and again bhakti, tremendous bhakti, even this worshipfulness, prayerfulness, commitment to dharma, karma yoga, all that again prepares the person also. It's not only in this janma, even janmantra samskaras, before, in previous lives also people live. That's why no karma, whatever you do, any good karma never goes waste. All the good karma you've done in the previous life, definitely it will contribute for present betterment. If you do anything now, that is why for a karma yogi, there is no loss at all. Know that? Even though the relative failures are there, there is no loss at all. Isn't it? And what I'm saying, then the person really becomes mature means, and he also understands. The maturity, this the disciplined life also helps him discover such facts. Naturally, oh, I have lived all these years. What have I achieved? I got this award, I got this merit. I was praised there. People looked up to me. Achieved so much. Academically, I'm an accomplished person. Professionally, I'm an accomplished person. Financially, I'm an accomplished person. Socially, I'm an accomplished person. Looked up to, very famous, very celebrity. What have you achieved? Suddenly, happiest person is the successful person, really speaking. So, suddenly this, what is it which will make me complete? Like Arjuna. You see, Arjuna asks, second chapter. And he is very clear. Such a person has to see how limited everything in the world is. Limited means, if something can give you what you want, that is great. something cannot give you what you want, that you understand the limitation of that. What I want is peace and happiness. Nothing can give me. Finish. It's called understanding the limitation of things means nothing in the world can give me what I want. Ultimately, if I want money, I want food, I want this, the world can give. But what I want, happiness, nothing can give. The world is not useless. They can give you a lot of things for living this life. Food, water, shelter, so many things what you need for living this life, the world gives you, no doubt. But security, absolute security, protection, happiness, peace, world cannot give. So what ultimately I want is happiness, that world cannot give. This is a fact. To understand this fact, one must live one's life. One must achieve things to know how limited it is. If you live your life, achieve many things, then you understand the fact, then the life has served its purpose. Pariksha lokan karma chitan. If you have not achieved anything at all, how will you understand? That's why you must do things. We always encourage people, do this, come out, express. Understand? There will be a time. So if this karma lived properly in keeping with karma, life of karma lived properly in conformity with dharma, contribute intellectual sharpness, that helps you understand this fact. If people are very, very dull-headed people, they can't understand this fact. How much ever they suffer, still they don't become dispassionate. Shastram says, one must be intelligent to discover this fact by analyzing one's life's accomplishments. Remember that Mundaka Upanishad mantra? Parikshalokan karmachitan nirveda mayad brahmanaha. The person should discover dispassion. How? By analyzing his own life's experiences. I have achieved so much. A person who achieved so much will say what? Nothing can give me happiness. I have not achieved anything also in life. My life has gone. So many years have passed in my life. What have I achieved? This understanding. Person who is capable of discovering dispassion by analyzing his own experiences in life is said to be a mature individual, intelligent person. And that is when the word Brahmanaha is also used to mean an intelligent person who is capable of learning from his own life's experiences and what is the lesson he should learn. Nothing in the world can give me happiness. This is the fact. To learn this one fact, the whole life is lived. If a person can discover this fact, he is intelligent person. Okay? And such a person, this passion, and he will think, okay, what can give me then? What I want is really happiness means, not something which comes and goes. What I want is permanent. If what I want is permanent, and he knows everything here is impermanent, how can impermanent give me permanent? Impermanent things cannot give me permanent happiness. That means what is permanent? Then he'll search for it. That's called Viveka. Viveka comes, Vairagyam comes. Which means, this person, when he says, what I want is happiness, he understands, he says, Mumukshutva. Viveka, Vairagyam, Mumukshutva. Then, because his commitment to Dharma, he has Shamaha, he has Damaha, he's committed to his duties, Uparamaha, and he has Prasada Buddhi, there's a Titiksha, and then, of course, he approaches Shastram as a Pramanam, he has Shraddha, and he is focused, I want only Jnanam ultimately. Then is Samadhanam. Purush, he becomes qualified, means what is there for him in his life. And he also takes the life of Sannyasa to know the truth. Vidisha Sannyasa. Sikir, a person who has understood Atma also takes to Sannyasa for assimilation. ascertainment. The person who wants to know also takes to life of sannyasa, but he is qualified. We have sannyasi. The person who wants to know but not yet qualified, he becomes a karma yogi. But karma yogi's life is as great as Vidisha sannyasi's life. Karma yoga and Vidisha sannyasi, in no way karma yogi is inferior at all. They're two different committed lifestyles, that's all. But the goal is the same. Is it clear? Because I take to this lifestyle just to prepare my mind, that's all. You know, the person who was prepared also must have been once upon a time unprepared. So nobody is inferior, nobody is superior. But for both of them, goal is moksha. The person who is not qualified, if he does not know purushartha, kya purushartha nischaya, he cannot become a karma yogi. He becomes a karmi. Isn't it? And somehow, somewhere we get associated with some people, then at least even association helps one pick up the interest in good things. The person can become, can convert into karma yogi. Is it clear? That is why we do not, in Veda Shastram, when we take up, there is nobody whose goal is not moksha and jnanam. We have karma, people who live a life of karma yoga, we have people who live a life of sannyasa, vidisha sannyasa. No, nobody is inferior, nobody is superior. For both of them, goal is the same. Have I clarified your doubt, or am I talking something else? Because yesterday Radhanaji reminded me, but somebody was asking the question. Before he finished the question, I started answering. He said, that's why I want to make it clear, make sure. It's okay. One more question, answer I have for Krishna Pranavji. He asked, after death, his experiences, the many other experiences are possible. The non-verifiable experiences are, I said, physical body must be there for the mind to be functional. Its experiences are possible, I said. That's true. To have the experience of the external world, or your own dream, okay? Definitely you need a body. Only then the mind can be functional. Without the body, mind cannot be functional. Mind cannot come in contact with the external world without the senses, the body. Then there is no experience possible. But some meditators, because of their meditative powers, they are said to have a lot of experiences, subtle experiences, without a body also. They talk about the journey, they went there, go about it. And these are all, they do talk, meditators, because seriously given to practice some meditation, are said to have a lot of experiences in subtle form. And I heard from some elders say, such experiences are like your dream. When you dream, your experiences are definitely there for you. Okay, but when your dream experiences are real only for you, I cannot disprove your dream experiences are not there. No, you are lying. I won't accept your dream. I cannot disprove you did not have dream at all. Nor can you prove that you definitely had a dream. The dream is subjectively real. It's a pratibhasikam satyam. Isn't it true? Dream is pratibhasikam satyam. Why? It is subjective reality. It is real. It is not unreal at all. Because the person who had a dream had experience. It is subjective reality, subjectively real. But it is not objective reality because it is not real for others. The world is vyavaharikam satyam. The world has vyavaharika satta, objectively real, empirically real. The dream is real only for the person who has subjective reality. And what is absolutely real is Atma. Paramarthikam satyam, vyavaharikam satyam, pratibhasikam satyam. So, if at all it is possible for a serious, very accomplished meditator, a yogi, who is still ajnani, for him, generally, it is not possible for people, departed soul to have any experiences without the body. But for such meditators, because of meditative that punyam, they without taking another body, if they are living for some more time, they can be without assuming a body for some time because of the punyam. It's not that they attend moksha or anything. Without jnana, there is no moksha. Okay? And if at all those experiences are possible, they can write books of experiences, but those experiences are like listening to somebody else's dream. We can't disprove, no, that person did not have experiences at all. We cannot disprove. Nor can the person prove to us. Because it's with a personal, subjective reality. And now we have to understand here, with the due respect to such experiences, we have to understand the limitation of it, that we are interested only in paramarthikam satyam, not in any pratibhasikam satyam. Okay? If at all somebody, a great meditator, had lots of experiences of, I went to that, I saw that, they can write so many things. How you can narrate your dream, other person can narrate. It may be true. It must be true also. But suppose if your dream must be true when you tell, I cannot disprove it is unreal, nor it is not true, nor can you prove it to me. It is only personal, subjective reality. And any experience is not jnana. Okay, knowledge is not experience. Experience is knowledge, but knowledge is not experience. Okay? Knowledge is not experience. And we are not interested in experience. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.